Time to get up and get your day started.
Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
It was a heck of a weekend in the world of sports. We're here to talk about it. Welcome in, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend as we kick off a new week here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Monday, May 18th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you. We're broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, they got their Memorial Day sale going on right now. Summer right around the corner. So it's time to get those backyards ready for the ultimate pool party. And they have deals on just about everything. You mentioned this ad. You get $200 off any pool or spa purchase at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. And it's starting to feel like summer, hotter, more humid. Today, already 75 degrees at 7:01 with a feel like a 79. We're going to get close to 90 today, 89 the projected high, breezy, warm, and humid with times of clouds and sun. And take advantage of today because there is rain in the forecast. In fact, rain for the rest of the week doesn't mean it's an all-day thing. Right now, 55% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. Then those percentages are a lot higher on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Our number one of the program is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery, 305 South Front Street in downtown Memphis, producing Tennessee whiskey, bourbon whiskey, Honeybell Citrus Vodka, Formula 10 Gin. The Distillery Bar is out of this world. If you haven't been down there, what are you waiting for? Anytime you go downtown for a sporting event, some type of entertainment, maybe a concert, comedy show, whatever the case may be, make sure to stop by Old Dominic Distillery, pouring Memphis pride into every cocktail. Grab one of their award-winning craft spirits. Maybe swing by for a pregame cocktail or a nightcap. 150 years in the making, starting with the Canale family's arrival in Memphis. But the revival began in 2017 when the doors opened to the public. You can find out more at olddominic.com. As I mentioned, busy weekend, lots of different things that took place, including Game 7, Cleveland-Detroit, which was not much of a game as the Cavaliers roll the Pistons in Detroit, and now the conference finals are all set. We have our final four teams. We will talk about that on the program today. The MVP is announced, not officially, but the word got out pretty quickly by Shams Charania, and he's taken some hits for that, but SGA repeats. We'll discuss that on the program, and also the latest as far as the mock trades concerning one Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies. The PGA Championship was cluttered, but it ends up being a runaway in the end by one Aaron Rye. We'll discuss that on the program. College baseball, big week, conference tournaments going on all over the place. Matt Reiser will join us at 9:05 as the Memphis Tigers are headed to Clearwater for the American Conference Tournament. Also, plenty of NFL news, including news on Aaron Rodgers. The Memphis Tigers have added a kicker to their roster and lots of other things happening. We'll take your calls and texts as well on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Fantastic.
There were a lot of people in Memphis over the weekend for a couple of different events. Just happened to be pretty much in the same area at Liberty Park. As we've talked about, the World Championship Barbecue competition was going on. I know you made a visit, paid a visit over there. So you had that going on. And you had the huge EYBL event that went on over at the Memphis Sports and Events Center. Also, construction going on with the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. And yet, everything I heard was absolutely positive. There were so many big-name coaches that were in town. And wouldn't it have just been a little bit nicer if whatever is going on with Liberty Park followed through, and they would have had a hotel built and restaurants built and all the other things that we were promised in one of the typical projects that we hear about in Memphis that always fall to the wayside. What is going on with that? I don't know. All I know is it really would have been cool for all those players that were there and coaches and people in the barbecue competition. Now, there probably wouldn't be enough rooms, but at least that hotel would be filled and you'd have a lot of money coming into the local economy. Now, people still had to go eat. They still had to stay somewhere. So that Memphis economy blossomed over the weekend. But nevertheless, my chance to get on my soapbox about Liberty Park. But as far as the tournament, great. Barbecue competition, great. And just an all-around great weekend weather-wise. Jay Hamm, how was your weekend?
Very quiet in the way that I wanted it to be.
Yes?
Got some rest. Got to cool out a little bit.
Yeah, I watched a lot of golf and some basketball yesterday. And unfortunately, Friday took a tumble. I'm a little worse for the wear today. When you're as old as I am, you don't want to be falling too many times. But that was the case. You may have watched the MMA event with Rousey and Carano, but if you blinked, you missed out on that one.
I think I slept through those 10 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely incredible. Rousey, 39. Gina Carano, who looks fantastic, lost 100 pounds, 44 years old. Let's be honest. 39-year-old woman, 44-year-old woman. I don't know if I particularly care to watch that, and I'm glad I didn't because I didn't miss anything. 17 seconds, arm bar. From Ronda Rousey, it's over. Luckily, there were other fights on the card.
Yeah, I did watch it. And yeah, that was a very, very quick little, felt like I was watching a Mike Tyson fight. it was over before it started, basically. But yeah, it was a, you mentioned the barbecue fest, what great time out there. It's kind of cool to see Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium with the, you know, getting closer and closer to being finished and just the kind of much more modern look from the outside of it that's there. But had a great time out there Friday night, all kinds of people together. The weather was absolutely spectacular for that. Yeah, and Saturday was a great day. Yesterday was all excited for a great day with the final round of the PGA Championship, looking like it was going to be awesome. The game 7 last night, and then last night, then it just all turned into a blah. Yeah, yesterday just was blah. It was had such potential and just turned into such a disaster.
Yeah, it was a dud of a day sports-wise. Obviously, huge events that we thought would be dramatic, and they were not. We'll talk NBA in just a second, and later on we'll get into the PGA Championship. But again, I hope everybody had a great weekend. And I don't know if you saw the video and the photos of the event over at the Memphis Events Center, Sports and Events Center, but it was a who's who with the coaches. And then you saw, depending on who you follow on social media, some of the coaches that were downtown. I saw Dusty May and his sons that were down there at Silky's. It's just really cool. And so far, knock on wood, I haven't heard anything negative. Seems like it was a very positive experience. Nothing went wrong. Nothing went awry. And they watched some great young talent on the EYBL circuit. That's the Nike circuit, including the team Thad teams from here in Memphis, but many, many other teams. Great players from around the country. And everybody from Dusty May to John Calipari to Dan Hurley, on and on and on, were there for that event. So, again, Memphis was the showplace for the next group of great college players. And then some of them will go on to play professionally, many in the NBA. And we've had that for years and years now with this event. I don't know if people remember Cooper Flagg played in this event. It is a great event that they put on, that they bring to Memphis, and hopefully that will continue. But again, not to dwell too much, again, it would be really cool to have Liberty Park complete it for these events that we have, and to have the great barbecue fest there. That was fantastic as well. We're going to pay for it this week, it looks like, with rain, but last week and into the weekend, just absolutely sensational. Well, you mentioned a dud of a day yesterday in the world of sports. I don't understand how this happens. I really, and I've said it before many times in sports, but I still don't get it. On Friday, the Detroit Pistons, in a must-win game, go into Cleveland after Cleveland had just beaten them in Detroit and beat down the Cavaliers by 21. beat them down. Jalen Duren had one of his better games in the postseason. 15 points, 11 rebounds. Cade Cunningham did his thing. They beat them by 21 points. So advantage Detroit for several reasons, going back to Detroit for Game 7 on Sunday, right? They win easily. So they're in a groove. They're back home. And they lay an ultimate egg. They lose by 31 points to the Cavaliers. They shoot 35% from the field. You give Cleveland all the praise in the world. You give Dan Gilbert praise. He brought, what, 25 busloads of fans? Which says an awful lot about Detroit. You can't fill that arena. All these Cleveland fans are buying the tickets. But nevertheless, there's no reason why Cleveland shouldn't have been competitive in a Game 7 at home. And James Harden didn't have a great game for Cleveland in Game 7, which is usually the case. And they still won by 31 points. Explain that to me.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what, they just, I don't know if Detroit ran out of gas or what, but they just looked like they were like a step slow all night. They did, I don't, that was one of the weirder things, just the, like, it was everybody. I mean, Cunningham couldn't make a shot. You know, Duren was struggling. They go to try and they tried Stewart. They tried, like, no matter who came in the game, just kind of looked like they were slow and really not into it. I don't know. You think of Game 7 on your home floor. That's one of the ultimate effort type things. And they just, there was not anybody. I mean, Tobias Harris doesn't make a single field goal. I don't know, that was a strange thing to watch, and you could tell early on that they just did not have it, and it was never going to happen for Detroit.
I mean, when Marcus Sasser ties for the second most field goal attempts for the Pistons, something's off. Tobias Harris was 0-for-6. Asar Thompson, who's not a great offensive player anyway, was 2-of-7. JM, explain that effort to me.
Okay. Friday night, what we saw was a Detroit Pistons team have guys show up that hadn't showed up all postseason and played outstanding. And when we get to Sunday, they had no more legs. When you can't play basketball if you don't have legs. You're not making shots if your legs are dead. They've gone through 2 7-game series where the basketball and playoff stress took its toll.
Okay, so explain to me how Detroit all season long kicked tail and finished as the number one seed in the East with the same players. Because, how did they do it? Smoke and mirrors?
Because they didn't have to go through 2 7-game series within 2 week stretches of the scene, dealing with the same people in hand scouting report, and the matchup that they had to deal with wasn't necessarily favorable.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between regular season and postseason
sure.
to begin with.
Sure, I understand.
Again, I don't, you know, we went in talk about the fact I don't know that anybody really expected Detroit to win the East, like come out of there, because you've got to learn these things, and they just don't have enough offense.
Yeah, their deficiencies were brought out.
Cade Cunningham, especially if Cade Cunningham has a bad game like last night, they have no chance.
Yeah.
But Jalen Duren was, you know, he did have the good game Friday night, but he was exposed badly in this postseason. I mean, then last night, with Jared Allen, like, and Mobley just absolutely dominated. It didn't matter who Detroit brought into the game. Those two guys, like, they had no answers for them whatsoever.
He was a descendant of Will Chamberlain.
Well, that's why you and I picked Cleveland. We picked Cleveland. JM had Detroit. We picked Cleveland, and I thought because of the Allen-Mobley combination that would be too much for Duren.
That determined, like, the series in the last three games. Jared Allen and Evan Mobley in Game 5 and Game 7.
Right.
And those two games in Detroit were fantastic in both of those. And on the flip, the Detroit others were great in Game 6. So the 5, 6, and 7 came down to the others.
Yes.
That's the part that, like, to have that type of effort in Game 6 – and then, like, literally, it was the exact opposite last night.
And, it was.
For the road team to be as dominant as they were in those two games. Again, I can understand maybe running out of gas a little bit, but if you were able to do that in Game 6, I don't know how you can look that bad in Game 7 if you're Detroit.
They mentally ran out of gas, too.
again,
the playoff stress got to be very real on Detroit.
That's a good point. 35% field goal shooting, though. That's incredible. And then for Cleveland, you got a guy like Sam Merrill that stepped up. He was big. 23 points in 25 minutes. Hit 7 of 10 from the field. 5 of 8 from 3. So they get that production off the bench. Donovan Mitchell was great pretty much every game. I think there was one game he was a little bit off, but 26 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds for their leader. Like I said, Harden, Game 7, as you know, Eli, doesn't usually come through. He was held to 9 points on 2 of 10 shooting, 6 assists, though, 5 rebounds. But they didn't need him because of the Mobley-Allen combination. Those two guys combined for 44 points, for goodness sakes. 19 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. They were the difference. And now they go into their best of 7 Eastern Conference final against the Knicks, which has, of course, Karl Anthony Towns. Now, Mitchell Robinson will play. He's a big. I'm just trying to think of the bigs for the Knicks where Cleveland could have an advantage with Mobley and Allen. And we'll talk about a lot more about this tomorrow because the series will start tomorrow. But just a quick thought on that.
I think we're going to see a lot of canceling out in it. And the health and availability of OG Anunoby is going to be a very big key in this one.
And right now we're not sure. But we are sure about this. The San Antonio Spurs blew out the Minnesota Timberwolves on Friday, 139-109, and they will begin the Western Conference Finals tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the defending NBA champions. It's the two teams that everybody expected to be in the Western Conference Final. The Thunder, a 6.5-point favorite tonight. Do you know, Eli, off the top of your head, or maybe you have it written down, what they are as far as a favorite for the series, the Thunder?
I saw, but I don't remember what it said.
Okay, if you see that, let me know. I'm just curious, but Oklahoma City tonight, 6.5-point favorite. But the Spurs took care of business, wasted no time, went into Minnesota game 6, wasn't going to be no game 7. They made sure of that, and they win by 30. Stephon Castle with 32. If Castle's doing his thing, and then the, minus 260, wow. Not a surprise, though. The kid from Rutgers, again, that comes off the bench.
Dylan Harper.
Harper does his thing, right? And whatever you get from Fox is a bonus. And then, of course, Wembanyama. I mean, wow, that's great. But here's the news. Jalen Williams is available. That's the all-star Jalen Williams, who missed the entire last series. He's available for game 1 of this series, and hopefully for the Thunder's sake, the entire series, although they may not need him. And De'Aaron Fox is questionable with an ankle. Luke Kornet is questionable with a left foot injury. So already, the Spurs may be a little shorthanded, and Oklahoma City, full arsenal. I mean, really? But the Spurs, give them credit. They turned that organization around with a couple of really good draft picks, and when you get a freak like Wembanyama, you're going to go right to the top. But to knock off the Thunder, that's going to take a Herculean effort.
Yeah, especially with getting Jalen Williams back, as you said. I mean, that's just another added bonus for them. There's the guard play in this could be fantastic. I mean, you've got some, obviously the Spurs got some really good guards. You've got a lot of really good defensive guards, obviously, for Oklahoma City. It'll be interesting to see tonight, people will look at both of these series, kind of the rest versus rust type issue. And, Van Gundy talked about it last night that he thought maybe the Cavaliers and Spurs would have a good chance to steal game ones because they're in rhythm where these other teams have had to sit there and wait. Oklahoma City's just really hard to beat. They get the depth and everything else, what they can do defensively. It's going to take. Obviously, the Spurs had a lot of success against them in the regular season, but this is a different ball game. You got a team coming off a championship with another team just finally getting their feet wet when it comes to postseason basketball. And obviously, pretty much all these guys playing in their first conference finals on the Spurs side of things. It's a difficult task. Wembanyama is going to have to be absolutely amazing for them to have a chance in this series.
For Minnesota, with their season coming to an end, now the question is, what do they need to make an even better run, stronger run next year? Obviously, they're a very good team. Mike Conley announcing, who is a free agent, that he does not plan on retiring. He plans to play at least another year. A veteran backup point guard for a team that needs somebody like that. I know Grizzlies fans are going crazy thinking, you know, Mike Conley and the Grizzlies are reunion, but to me it doesn't make any sense. You would think that Mike Conley wants to go to a contender in his final year or 2 years, but from a Minnesota standpoint, Jay Ham, what do they need?
I think the glaring thing that the people up there are looking at is like, we got to do something about Julius Randle because it was a fall, you know, from his regular season to what we saw in the postseason, and he struggled mightily. And so much of that is really not his fault. I think it's just they missed in how they wanted to address the personnel with that, you know, when they swapped him out for Cat and the whole deal and had a good chance for it for a season or two, but have to be able to improve that, you know.
It seems like with every team that gets knocked out, a rumor about Ja Morant surfaces. And there was one over the weekend involving Minnesota. NBA writer Jake Weinbach had a trade proposal where the Timberwolves would acquire Ja Morant from the Grizzlies. They would give up the aforementioned Julius Randle, who's got 2 years left on his contract at 33.3 and then 35.8, and the expiring contract of Dante DiVincenzo, who unfortunately for Minnesota was hurt. I guess there's other things. There's also a first-round pick that the Grizzlies would have to give, not this year, but in 2029. Does that do anything for you?
Why do they want to send us the damaged player, man?
Damaged players, all. I mean, some of these trades are the Grizzlies drop down in the draft and get like the worst part of the deals. I don't know. I guess they're all bought into that the Grizzlies are going to get fleeced over this deal because nobody wants Ja and his value's dropped. I guess that's what it is. But yeah, I mean, that doesn't do anything for me. How does that help out Minnesota? Anthony Edwards needs the ball in his hands, and so does Ja.
It doesn't help us. So I'm looking at a dude that's making $35 million and a dude that's got a torn Achilles.
Right.
Minnesota's just in a bad spot because they are paying everybody, and they haven't. You know, they've got to the conference final. They've made runs, but now once you're in a position where you are paying everybody. I mean, Edwards has his big deal. You're paying Gobert. You're paying Julius Randle. You've already paid Jaden McDaniels. You're paying Naz Reid. Like, they had their chance before all of these guys came up a couple of years ago. Now, once you're paying everybody, it's really hard. It's hard to acquire guys. It's hard to do anything when you are in cap hell. And that's where Minnesota is. They're in a tough, tough spot.
In hindsight, was the Randle Cat trade bad trade for Minnesota?
I would say in hindsight, especially because the financial structure of the NBA changed after that, where now we're looking at it where really I think a lot of teams are going to get busted up like what happened here in Memphis. Pretty much like Eli mentioned this before, we can't pay three max guys. You're going to have a lot of teams that have three max contracts that aren't in position to win. They're going to bust their team up because they can't do it, and they know they can't win doing it.
Look, they put a lot of faith in acquiring Rudy Gobert. Gobert did some good things. Minnesota was in a pretty good position, but you're right. If you're going to go ahead and pay those guys, you take it. At least they're taking a shot at it, and it's going to come up short to win it all, but it still was a very good season for Minnesota.
I think what we saw with them Friday night was like Gobert and Randle had like a combined three rebounds or something crazy like that.
Well, because the Ant trade, Cat trade, they saved money, like, because he was making 50. They were trying to, that alleviated some of their cap hell. I still go back to the Gobert thing. You had Walker Kessler. You had Rudy Gobert, only way cheaper. Like a ninth or a tenth of the price that you're paying. You could have had Walker Kessler at $4 million this year and said you had Rudy Gobert at $36 million this year.
He's just not sexy, Walker Kessler, Gobert, the big Frenchman. It's sexy, you know? We're going to pay him all the money.
I mean, if you took $30 million off the books for Gobert and replaced it with Walker Kessler, it allows you to do other things.
Yeah.
And obviously the DiVincenzo injury doesn't help. They weren't beating San Antonio anyway. And that's the problem in the West. we may see Oklahoma City and San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals for the next, I don't know how long. I mean, you look at both these teams and the age of their guys and try and figure out how you're going to catch up with them, because they're only going to, I mean, generally, they're going to get better.
Their basketball aligns with the business.
Yeah.
It aligns perfect with the business for them to make that run.
When you're intelligent moves by the front office, but what are you going to do, wave the white flag if you're every other team? You got to figure out a way to...
But that's the point. They're in cap hell. There's nothing you can do. Denver's screwed. Minnesota's screwed. They're already committed way over the cap. They're luxury tax-paying teams. Like, you're in a position where you can't improve your team enough.
You know who's not in financial hell? The Grizzlies. They're not. Not even close.
They can't sign free agents, so it doesn't matter.
Not anymore, because they moved those guys off. That's what I'm saying. It's like when the second apron started to come down, a lot of teams were already in cap hell, and then it made it even more hell with the second apron.
Yes, but that's why it's so pivotal for the Grizzlies to nail this draft and to make a shrewd trade for Ja Morant. You're not going to win the lottery with this trade, but you got to make a shrewd trade where maybe you get one from somebody. I'm not going to say take advantage of somebody, because it's not going to happen. I mean, there's general managers on the other side that understand that you're trying to unload Ja, and they're not necessarily maybe in the market for him, but you can make a shrewd enough trade where it makes sense. You feel good about unloading him. I know some of the fans won't be happy. But certainly, that's the goal right now of this organization. Anybody who thinks it's not, they're wrong. And then nail the draft. And if you do so, you've taken a couple of steps forward into getting into position with young players. And then you'll see. You know, again, maybe Oklahoma City moves on from Hartenstein. Maybe they do. And then you go out there and maybe bring in a guy like that that can help anchor your defense. Just some things that you can maybe turn it around quicker than a three-year rebuild, because they really can't afford a three-year rebuild in a small market, to be honest with you. Once again, hour number one of the program is brought to you by our friends at Old Dominic Distillery, 305 South Front Street, online at olddominic.com. On the website, they list all their whiskeys and spirits. They list all their signature cocktails, instructions on how you can make them at home using the Old Dominic spirit. So visit the website, and also visit the distillery bar. Make a reservation to take the guided tour and taste some of the great products that they produce. And head on over there this Saturday, May 23rd. You're invited to Old Dominic's Crawfish Boil, rescheduled from April because of the weather. Rock out the music by the Risky Whiskey Boys. You can eat big, wash it all down with a craft cocktail or local beer at Old Dominic Distillery this Saturday, the 23rd. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win his second straight MVP award. It was, eventually announced, but the story was broken by who else? Shams Charania. And Blake Griffin was not real happy about that. Blake Griffin, his quote was, "Go to brunch, you nerd." He was not happy that he broke the story before the NBA made the official announcement. But that's what Shams does. That's what Woj did. People even before that were breaking stories. Peter Vesey and others years ago. How do you feel about that?
If they didn't want him to tell us, they would have told him not to tell us.
There was somebody on Twitter point that thinks that Shams actually just screwed up the AM and PM, that he scheduled the tweet because he did it at 6:30 AM. The announcement was at 6:30 PM. And they think he just literally screwed up. Like, it did that. I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's the case or what. But because it was really like they did it so early, but he'd like, They said he may have just screwed up AM and PM. That's what got it. So that's what screwed the whole thing. Because the announcement was supposed to be at 6:30. It was on Prime for the pregame show, 6:30 PM. And I guess the tweet came out at 6:30 AM, they said, or Central Time.
And Griffin works for Prime?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why they were, I mean, he said on the pregame, like they were the ones making the announcement. And he was joking when he said it. I mean, they were all joking.
No, of course, but still, I can understand where they're a little irate about that happening, even though it's tongue-in-cheek. It's like, come on, man, we're making this announcement. People are tuning in for this. Now they already know. Of course, most of us already thought SGA was going to win. I thought maybe there was an outside shot that Wemby could do so, but he did not win. He ended up finishing third. It was Jokic second, Wemby third, Luka fourth, and Cade Cunningham fifth. So once
it really wasn't even close either. I thought it would be closer than
so did I.
Like that's like it was a very wide margin. I mean, it was what 83 first place votes for SGA. Yeah, 83 first place votes. Jokic had 10. Like it's not. I mean, it wasn't even not even close in any way.
So you saw a Canadian win for a second straight year. Serb finished second, Frenchman finished third, Croatian finished fourth, and then finally an American. And then we'll talk golf later on where it was a decorated international scoreboard at the PGA Championship. And I think it's great for sports. I know there are some that, you know, I'm proud. I want the Americans to win. The red, white, and blue, but I'm not one of those fans where it's just like, it's got to be red, white, and blue or nothing. No, I want to see the best in the world compete. And we're seeing great athletes from all over the world in just about every single sport. The only sport that they haven't really been able to make any kind of mark is in the National Football League, with the exception of maybe the Australian rules punters, you know, kickers. Those guys have certainly made their mark, but it's still a pure American sport for the most part, although, of course, Goodell and company are trying to make it more international, and they're doing a good job with that. But from a individual competitiveness standpoint, every single sport, you see the influx of the international athlete, and a lot of them have dominated. And in the NBA, a sport that was founded here in this country and dominated by people in this country for years, you're seeing that that's not necessarily the fact anymore, as once again you get SGA winning the MVP. But as far as Shams is concerned, if he's getting the information from somebody reputable that he's going to go out there and say it, more power to him. It's breaking a story. But I'm just wondering who's telling him. Like, who tells him this information? I can't imagine somebody from the league tells him.
That's who I think it is.
You think it is? I think it's more the agent of the player.
Could be.
Why would the league do that? Especially when they want to have that announcement.
Did they never stop Woes from doing it either?
No, they didn't, but that's why I still think it's agents. I what do you think, Eli? I think he's getting the information from agents, not from the actual NBA offices.
Something like this, I think he probably got from the NBA themselves.
You think so?
I think they probably wanted him to hold it. Again, whether he just really screwed up AMP, I don't know. Whatever.
Well, you can imagine they gave it to him, and then they say, now, you screwed it up, you're not getting any more. That's it. So all of a sudden, Shams isn't breaking stories anymore. You're not getting anything. I still think it came from the agent.
Some text here on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255, 360-8255. Ron says the Pistons came out flat. They thought being at home, they would win. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't care if you have home court advantage or not, you still have to do more than just go through the motions, which is basically all they did is to go through the motions last night.
Yeah, but why would you think just because you're at home, you're going to win? You lost at home in game five, and then you won on the road in game six. There was no guarantees they were coming back home to win. I just thought the effort would be actually, you know, an effort.
Raider, of course, says Cade needs more consistent help. Changes must happen this offseason. Listen, again, a lot of people point out, like, Detroit should have done more at the trade deadline. They were way too comfortable with this team. And this, I mean, there was a lot of things about it that got exposed in the postseason. But they did. Get some playoff experience, which you got to have. Cade figured some things out, I'm sure. And now they figure out, well, now they can make some decisions and who they want and don't want and all that going forward. But certainly what they got experience-wise was valuable. And what Cade Cunningham got was very valuable for playoff experience.
What about Ja in Detroit?
Why do they have Cade Cunningham?
Yeah, but Cade Cunningham's not exactly a point guard.
They got Dan Shakens. Point forward. They got Marcus Sasser.
Cade Cunningham literally is a point guard.
Yeah, he is.
Like,
point
he is the point guard.
Well, I know he has the ball in his
played his whole life.
He's just 6'8". Okay. He's just 6'8". He takes a lot of chances and has some turnovers. But you know what? Magic had a lot of turnovers, too, at 6'8".
Yeah, I mean, I look at him as a point forward, which is what they call LeBron, a guy who's got the ball in his hands a lot. But I don't know if it takes anything away from Cade to have another guy, a ball handler next to him.
What they need to address is that they need to have something formidable next to Jalen Duren. Because what we saw was that Isaiah Stewart was not effective at all. You got some good stuff from my man, Paul Reed. He was cool. But it can help Jalen Duren if he has something. If he's got something that's like what Jared Allen has next to him,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Evan Mobley.
I agree, but we're looking at that team with offensive woes. So you're talking about a scoring forward, not a defensive guy.
As much as they need somebody on the perimeter to score the ball, they're going to need somebody on the post to help hold that down with Jalen Duren. You got to think about that. He did this with Tobias Harris.
Right.
You know,
right.
Who had a great postseason.
At times,
as well.
He pulled him out of the fire, yeah. Tobias Harris. But yeah, he wasn't consistent.
Another texter says, if there's no real Ja Morant trade out there that is reasonable, or is it reasonable that the team could just cut him and eat salary for 2 years?
No.
No.
I don't see that.
There is a trade you could make. Again, you could, depending on what you're truly willing to accept, but you're not just going to eat that type of money. That makes no sense to eat that type of money. Instead of just taking something for him, at least in return.
There was the other trade rumor over the weekend, which has been out there before, involving Miami, because Miami was one of those teams at the trade deadline that came up. And I forget all the details of this trade, but in essence, it would send Tyler Hero to Memphis. Anything? Crickets?
For the most part, yeah. Good player, but how's that going to make you better? What's that going to do for you
right
now?
What's he making, too? What's he making right now?
Well, I mean, he's an expiring contract for next year. Like, I would take that. That's fine. Tyler Hero's not going to be a part of your future.
Long term. Yeah. What is he, like 25 on his contract?
He makes $33 million next year.
He's a good player, but I mean, you would think that you would want to get something that will help you for the future, not just an expiring contract. And I mean, can you get a player out of there that will be a part of your rotation moving forward? That's the question.
Probably something that somebody don't want to give up.
Probably.
You have somebody that's going to be a part of your rotation maybe next year when you're still not very good.
But well, yeah,
you're not getting some piece of your cornerstone piece of your franchise going forward.
I'm just talking about an eighth, ninth guy that can be a part of the cornerstone of the future beyond the 1 year where his contract runs out, and you'll be able to like sign the guy for more than 1 year. I don't know. I don't even know what that would be.
Another texter asked about the Grizzlies taking Boozer in the draft and rolling with Boozer, Edie, and Ja. Yeah, they very well could take Cam Boozer in the draft if he is available for them, and that would pair him with Edie, but no. Barring them having a complete change of mind, those guys will not be paired with Ja Morant. That's just the bottom line. The franchise made the decision during the season that they were done with Ja Morant, and I don't think Cam Boozer is going to suddenly change their mind on Ja Morant. This is a rebuild. Once you traded Jaren, you made that quite clear. Keeping Ja at this point just really doesn't make sense. There's no reason to keep him after you've traded Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Well, there's two different things with that text. They're not one depends on the other. Cam Boozer, if he's available at 3, is their pick. Okay, let's not even try to complicate this thing. If Cam Boozer's there at 3, he's going to the Grizzlies. The Ja Morant thing's a whole different story. But I still think that it's not out of the question that Washington could take Boozer one, or there could be some sort of trade. That's all I'm saying. It could happen. But again, I want to make it clear. If Cam Boozer's available at three, the Grizzlies are taking him. That's it. Also, before we take our next break, did you guys see that Brandon Clark, the late Brandon Clark, had a fiance, and she came out, and her name is Amber Lorraine, and she penned a very touching tribute to her fiance, Brandon Clark, who died, of course, a week ago. I guess technically a week ago tonight. And we haven't heard anything more about the investigation into his death. But she penned this tribute. It was very touching. And again, it makes it even sadder to know. Because we were wondering, well, he's not married, doesn't have any kids, I don't think. But does he have a significant other? Apparently, he had a very significant other, a fiance, which makes it even sadder. Folks, Lawn Solutions is a locally owned weed control fertilization company that serves the greater Memphis area. Brandon Holly and his team of pros can help your lawn. Just go online to lawnsolutionsinc.net or give them a call at 867-5626. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings. It's a locally owned, family-operated company. They kill the weeds, get you that green, plush, beautiful lawn. They control the germination of weeds all year long. They're applying right now what they call post-emergence, and then during the winter months, even when your grass is dormant, they're treating your grass with what they call pre-emergence. They can also take care of any disease your lawn has, any insect infestation, ugly dandelions and crabgrass, grub worms and moles that can do a lot of damage, and everything else in between with diseases and with infestation of insects that can do damage to your lawn. Let them take care of it for you. 901-867-5626 or online at lawnsolutionsinc.net. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Jeff texts in on Sissy's Log Cabin list line. He says, Edie stayed healthy at Purdue because he lived in the paint. Big centers that stay in the paint tend to have long, productive careers. Chamberlain, Jabbar, Olajuwon, Moses, Robinson, Ewing, etc. I don't know if there's any correlation between guys who are mostly, you know, back to the basket guys of the paint versus now what guys are asked much more to do as bigs. I don't know that that's the reason that Edie suddenly is getting hurt.
Well, the Admiral and the Dream didn't live in the paint either. They moved around a little bit. They moved on the perimeter. They even defended the perimeter.
But you also would think that there's more banging in the paint.
Oh, yeah, it's more banging.
I mean, more chances to get hurt in the paint. You're banging, you're going up against another Goliath. I don't know.
But we're also talking about 7-foot dudes who generally, tall dudes that play basketball, have a propensity to get injured on lower extremities. But they're still moving around. Like, Dream was active like that, you know, just on the perimeter and post.
Dream with his Dream Shake?
Yeah, his footwork, alone was just...
I mean, Ewing had a good jumper.
Pat definitely had a good, 15 to 18-foot jumper. But
he was living in the paint.
Yeah.
Ewing was playing in the paint.
Right. They're still paint guys, right?
Right, they're still paint.
That's where centers were. You put them in there and...
They're not operating like Jokic is on the
point.
The
thing is, they're not... Again, Olajuwon did. I mean, he was just unbelievable. But, now there are so many centers around the league that are playing on the perimeter that as a defensive guy like Zach Edey, he's now being asked to defend guys in areas he's never had to defend guys before.
Yeah. And
in college, he's just going to stand in the paint. He never had to come out. Who cares?
It's kind of like the direct flip of what I say about Wimby. Like, he can control the paint and the perimeter at the same time. Well, with Zach, he can just do the paint.
Yeah.
You can't really rely on them out front because, as you mentioned before, a slow footwork.
Duncan would take it outside and hit that bank shot.
So if you're asking a 7'4" giant
to chase
guys around the perimeter, can that lead to more ankle and stuff injuries?
Very good, I guess.
That's a possibility.
Like,
yeah.
So there is something to be said for that. Yeah. I think there is.
Absolutely.
You know, again, whether that's the reason for the injuries, I don't know. But you could understand where asking those guys to move around a lot more cutting and everything else,
absolutely,
just because they're trying to defend a guy on the perimeter that in years past those guys never really had to do.
Different style of play, just overall.
So what did you guys think of Anthony Edwards leaving his bench during a timeout, going over to the Spurs bench to congratulate the guys with 8 minutes to go in the game?
Personally, I had no problem with it, but I understand the uproar. You know, I mean, he was done. You know, they're down 30 or whatever at that point. He's got two bad knees. Waved his white flag. He's like, I know I'm not coming back.
You know, this, so. I would usually go off. People know me long enough here on this show that I would go off about that because I think he'd compete to the final second. I don't know why I don't have an issue with it. I probably should have an issue with it. I think it's dumb that he did that, and he's getting lambasted, like you said, by a lot of people. But that game was over. I don't know. Eli, what do you think? Again, I should be mad, and I'm not.
No, I have no problem, whatever. Like, yeah, the game was over. I mean, there was no doubt. It was done. It was over. The series is over. I don't have any problem. And that's like, and that doesn't surprise me at all from Ant. Like, he's one of the guys in the NBA that I would see doing that. Like, I don't even know who else, but like Ant, I absolutely see doing that.
A part of it is kind of refreshing that he did do it because it is, and it's like, I'm not going to fake it.
Yeah, he's just like, he has no problem just being blown, like, no, we got our butts whooped, like, we were done, it was over.
I don't want to see that become a trend.
Nah.
Where players leave their bench, go over to the other bench during a timeout with 8 minutes to go. I mean, the game was over with Detroit and Cleveland, for goodness sakes. By the way, it was cool to see Naquan Tomlin get in the game for Cleveland. Former Memphis Tiger. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
A midseason pickup for Penny Hardaway, now playing in the NBA playoffs, for goodness sakes, and now will be a part of the team that makes it to the Eastern Conference Final. And a full contract, that's right. Went from two-way, got the standard NBA contract. So here's my question for you guys. SGA wins the MVP, voted upon by his fellow players. Right? This is not a media thing, because I said this a couple of weeks ago.
This is a media thing.
I'm sorry. It's a media thing. I said this a couple of weeks ago that I think if it was voted upon by the players, I think Wemby would have got a little more support because they see what kind of freak the dude is. They see a guy that's that 7'6" driving to the bucket. They understand that. The media, I'm not saying they're stupid, but you know, it's easy to go SGA, SGA, look at the team, they're number one. But what the Spurs did this year, and now they're in the Western Conference Finals, led by Wemby. Okay, I can understand it either way. I could have understood if Wemby got it. But do you see, moving forward with the media, what would be your projection on, let's say, 10 years from now? So SGA's got the jump. SGA's got the jump. 10 years from now, who has more MVPs, SGA or Wemby?
Are you kidding me? It's Wemby.
I don't know. Does he play 65 games every year?
If he meets the requirement, it's like.
I mean, it sounds like an easy thing, but he's two in a hole right now. He's down two, so 10 years.
Say he's down two, but he's like winning his third season.
No. But that would be taken away from SGA.
Right.
I mean, if SGA continues to do what he does, and Oklahoma City continues to do what he does the media, do they reward him, or do they start to get SGA fatigue?
If he is meeting the minimum requirements, the media will have no choice. He's not going to leave a choice upon us.
Is there anybody else right now? We don't know who's coming into the league in the next 10 years, but we know the players that are in the league right now, guys like Jokic, Doncic, obviously Cade Cunningham had a great year, others on the horizon, Cooper Flagg being one of them. Do you see... Now, of course, it's probably not going to be where SGA and Wemby win all 10 years and MVP, because things happen. Guys get injured. But do you see, or who do you see, battling those guys? Like, do you see them, if they're healthy and they play their their game, do you see them getting dethroned by anybody? Are those two guys going to run roughshod over the league the next 10 years?
I guess that's my question. Where does Giannis end up? I mean, does he get on a good team? I mean, it's a lot of it is team-driven, so you don't know who's going to end up on a good team or that. So,
I think that's the key about both of those guys is that they have great teams around them. You know, it's not like they're carrying the whole, you know, well by themselves. Like, they have elite talent around them at that level, and it's young. So it'll be elite talent that'll be elite with those organizations, and then they'll move forward.
See, they're going to be really good. Both those teams are going to be really good.
See, that's a great point,
though.
But that's when you have to think about, okay, where would Oklahoma City be without SGA? Where would San Antonio be without Wemby? I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all to make your decision. But we've talked about this Oklahoma City team. Like, their second five is good enough to be a team that is competitive, I think, in either the West or the East. San Antonio, not as much, although they're starting to get depth on their bench, too. I think the answer is pretty obvious, that San Antonio would be nowhere near where they are without Wemby. Whereas Oklahoma City would be good. I don't think they'd be the best without SGA. That's my opinion.
I think the Spurs would still be a playoff team without Wemby. They wouldn't be, you know, the second seed with, you know, 50, 60 plus wins or whatever that they got it with. But they could be a good, you know, 48 to 52 win
type of squad. I
could
buy that. I could buy that. But the question was,
that's a different level.
Yes. Yeah, it's a different level if you don't have Wemby. Town Village Audubon Park, senior living in today's world, offering more options to fit your needs more than ever before. They're dedicated to the long-term satisfaction and the quality of life for their residents. All they ask is that you're 55 years of age or older. They're located at 950 Cherry Road, just off Park Avenue in the heart of East Memphis. You can call them at 901-537-0002 or go online to townvillageaudubonpark.com. Independent living, short-term respite stay, monthly options may be the way to go. Great event schedule, activities galore. For the residents, everything you need to continue to enjoy life to its fullest. Some of the basic services include monthly rental with no buy-in. Apartments include full kitchen, washer, and dryer, all-inclusive resort-style dining, multiple venues, bi-weekly housekeeping and outpatient therapy. And the community amenities, they have a community social area. Features a fitness center, home theater, game rooms, indoor pool, whirlpool, 24-hour pantry, beauty salon, library, computer center, and so much more. Plus five landscape courtyards, resident gardening areas, recreational, religious, social, and wellness activities, dog park, gated parking, everything you need to enjoy life to its fullest for those golden years. Maybe your golden years, maybe the golden years of a loved one, a parent, a grandparent, whoever it may be. Think Town Village Audubon Park. Again, take the tour. Give them a call. Set it up at 901-537-0002 or go online to townvillageaudubonpark.com, 950 Cherry Road, in the heart of East Memphis. Hour two on the way. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.